Welcome to Freedom House Podcast. We're always encouraged to know God is working through this church as we change our world one life at a time. So if you have a story to share about how this ministry has impacted your life, please let us know and send us an email at amen@thefreedomhouse.org. We hope you enjoyed this message.
So good. Come on, give God a hand clap. Beautiful. Christ. How many would agree Christ is enough? Amen. Well, again, well, welcome to our patio service. My friends from around the country, they text me saying, only you can do a patio service in Southern California. We can't do that up north or in Miami and all that. It's too hot over there. Come on, somebody. But I did want to take a moment before I do minister my message that or the series we're on as far as, you know, becoming history makers and being salt and light that I think is very important to address in the church and very important to speak about. Yesterday, while we were loving on our community and we were loving on people, on the other side of our nation, there was hate, division, and a spirit of the Antichrist trying to come against people. And it's very important that as a church that we speak about these things. Relevant is not how we dress. Relevant is what you address. Okay, so we're not relevant as a church because we got lights and we got smoke bombs or fog machines. I call them smoke bombs. They don't like it, but all that stuff. That doesn't make us relevant, okay? Well, you guys are relevant. That's not relevant. Relevant is how what you're saying apply to my everyday life. Is it addressing what's happening today? And I want to take a couple minutes here to speak about that before I do go into my message. It's going to curtail into my message. But I think it's very important as a church that we're aware of the schemes of Satan, that the spirit of Antichrist is trying to come up to bring division amongst God's people. That because of someone's skin color or some type of superiority because of someone's race is absolutely demonic and from the pit of hell. I wish I had a better amen from the people of God. Someone say amen. Y'all better clap better than that. Come on, somebody, say amen. And it's not a time to remain silent in the sense of pretending like it's not happening. But it's a time that as a church, we've got to be intentional. You see, this house, this church is going to be a church for every race under heaven. For every come on, somebody, every color, every person, don't matter where you're from. We are all made in God's image, all of us, no matter what skin color. And I want to show you this verse in the Bible because people think, well, you know, what's the big deal with that? I'm going to tell you what the big deal is about it. Scripture says in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 20, they're going to put it up here. If you don't have it, just write it down. You can go there. But the Bible makes it very clear about this thing called love between humanity. Scripture says, whoever claims to love God and yet hates a brother or a sister is a liar. In other words, if I say I love God, how can I hate someone because of the color of their skin? The Bible says, you're a liar. You don't love God. It says, for whoever does not love their brother and sister whom they have seen cannot love God who they have not seen. That the measure of our love for God isn't so much why I love God. Well, yeah, but if you don't love the person next to you, then you don't love the Lord. And we all got to be very careful. Listen, even in the church, I'm going to go there. In the church. Because a lot of these, I was talking to one person after the first service. They said, hey, Pastor, yeah, I was at the donut shop this morning grabbing a coffee. And someone picked up the newspaper and he just said, hey, anything good in there? He says, no, nothing good in there. And began to say, tie this conversation with the person at the donut shop, and they're just like, yeah, you know, what's crazy is a lot of these people go to church that are racist. And we got, listen, come on, somebody. We have to make sure that as a church, we never make any prejudice based upon anything. We love all people, and they all need, oh, y'all better clap. I better stop. I feel like preaching now in Jesus' name. We love all people. And so this church will be that. And I'll say it, and I denounce every demonic spirit that will try to attack that in the name of Jesus Christ. Bow your head and let's pray about this. Father, we don't just talk about it to each other. We talk to you about it as well, God. And Father, I rebuke this demonic spirit of racism and bigotry, Lord, that is trying to awaken again, Father, this demonic spirit, Father, now in the 21st century, trying to bring division amongst humanity and even within churches. And Father, as a minister of the gospel with the people of Jesus Christ in this church, we come against it. We don't stand for it. We give it no room. And we are going to love, 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 love unconditionally, Father. That when hate tries to be loud, love is going to get louder. We're going to be even more intentional to love people back to life, because this is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person has been in the image and in the likeness of God, regardless of the shade of their skin, Father. They are a child of God. And we, Father, will extend that love as a church family and as Freedom House Church. In Jesus' name we pray. Somebody put a good amen. Come on, say it. Amen. Give God a hand clap. Amen. And turn to the person next to you. Just tell them, I love you. Just say, I love you. Add in the Lord if it feels a little awkward. Okay, I love you. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know this person. Like, I love you in the Lord. Just add in the Lord. It's all good. Okay? And I always like to have fun. But if you're like single, you're like, I've been waiting for this moment in church. Here's my chance. No. It is not. We're watching you. Praise the Lord. Come on now. Praise God. All right, let's jump into the word this morning. I don't think it's by coincidence that I've been on this series recently talking about winning souls, people, the value of people, the value of souls. And it's interesting how the word of God is always current and relevant when you're preaching it. But I want to continue on this thought of history makers on the value of a soul and being salt and light. Grab your Bibles and go with me to the Gospel of Luke, or Luke's account. The book of Luke, chapter 15, Did not get a message outline when you walked in. Our spectacular ushers will hand one of those to you. Just lift your hands. Points to my message as well as the verses that I'll be reading to you this morning. And they will hand it to you there. You can follow along with me. And as you're opening your Bibles to Luke 15, grabbing your message outlines, what we're about to read is an encounter that Jesus had with this group in the Bible called Pharisees. Say that with me. Pharisees, okay? These Pharisees were a religious type of people in Jesus' day that were very, when I say the word religious, not so much because they went to church. They were religious because they were very legalistic in the way they followed God. They, instead of trying to relieve burdens from God's people, they were putting more burdens on God's people. They were saying, you can't do this and you can't do, it was crazy. And they were trying to change people's hearts through law and legalism, rules, legalism, and law. Where Jesus came, he says, I've come to change your life with love and relationship with God. Rules won't change your life. A relationship with God will change your life. Somebody say amen. And so this is so important because we're about to read. I really wanted to frame how we are salt and light in the world, how we bring people to the knowledge of Jesus. And it is so important because if we're not careful, we can get a pharisaical spirit trying to reach people, trying to change the world, where we think that some type of rule or law is going to change people. No, hearts having a relationship with Jesus is going to change people. Say amen. And so I really want you to listen intently. I believe that this message, I'm not excited about, well, I am excited, but it's not because I'm excited, but God is excited about this message because we're about to find out what God is really up to. Someone say amen. All right, verse number one out of Luke 15, the scripture says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear Jesus, but the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they muttered or they complained, this man welcomes sinners and he eats with them. They're like upset. Why are you talking to people that don't go to church? Or why, you know, they're all upset. Verse 3, then Jesus told them this parable to help them explain what Jesus was doing and what he was up to. He tells them, suppose one of you had 100 sheep. How many sheep? 100 sheep. And you lose one of them. How many did you lose? He says, doesn't he leave the 99 in open country and go after the lost sheep until he finds it? And when he finds it, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders, he carries it, and goes home. Then the Bible says, then he calls his friends and his neighbors together and says, rejoice for me, I have found my lost sheep. Verse 7, I tell you, in the same way, someone say the same way. Notice that it says kind of like this. No, it says the same way. The scripture says there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner, one soul, who repents than over the 99 righteous people or persons who do not need to repent. So good. That heaven throws a party. I love you, okay? You know I love you, all right? Okay? But heaven doesn't have a party because all 99 of all the church people get together. Heaven has a party is when the person that doesn't have Jesus comes into salvation knowledge, heaven goes into celebration. I don't know about you, but I want to make parties in heaven because we were reaching people. Come on, somebody, say amen. All right, I want to talk to you today. The title of my message is The Hope of His Story, The Hope of His Story. Let's pray one more time. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your presence. And even in the midst of so much turmoil in our nation, Jesus, you're still on the throne. God, your love is still more powerful, and light shines brightest in the darkest times, Lord. And Father, may we, the church, have a revelation, an understanding of what it is you're up to on planet Earth. We who are followers of Christ, make us into those fishers of men, being a reached person who reaches people. Let us be salt and light. Give me the grace to communicate this message. In Jesus' name we pray, somebody say, amen. Come on. Well, let me start here. I have to help better understand the scriptures, I have a couple funny quirks about myself. A lot of them, actually. Probably not a couple. My wife will be honest. She's right here. I got to tell the truth. Come on, somebody. I got some funny quirks about me. One of the funny quirks is I am a person of habit. So, like, social media has this, like, thing now. It's called I call it InstaSnap. I don't even know if that's the name, but we'll call it InstaSnap. And you can, like, tell you what you do throughout the day. And my InstaSnaps, I tell my wife, they're boring because I'm, like, such a person of habit. That if you see, it's like the same. I'm just going to press copy, paste, and that's what I do. I wake up, I do this. You know what I mean? And I'm just a person of habit. But one of the things that I do, like I just always do it, and you can't break me out of it, you know what I mean? It's when I get home, after I say hi to my kids and my wife, give them a kiss, the first thing I do is I go upstairs, I put my shirt on a hanger, I fold my pants, I put my shoes away, then I get into my comfy clothes, and then I can go downstairs and hang out. Or am I right or am I right? That's right. My wife knows that. She's like, the dinner's ready. I say, I'll be right back. My kids already know. Dad's going to go. I got to do that. I can't just, like, sit down in my clothes. I'm like, I got to put it away, and I got to put it away. I know it's a little weird. Anybody, come on, somebody, like, organize stuff. That's just me, okay? I got to put it away, and if it's not, I'm like, oh, my goodness, where's my stuff, you know? And so I got to put my stuff away, and I put it away. And my wife's like, well, you know, why do you do that? And I think the reason I do that is because I grew up with four brothers, and I don't want my stuff not to be able to find it because they will steal my clothes. Come on, somebody. And maybe it's just in me. I just kind of put it away because the truth is I dislike losing stuff. Like, I don't like going to my closet and be like, where did I put that shirt? Where's I really wanted to wear that rose shirt. I know you look. Don't hate on my rose shirt. You know, I wouldn't want to wear it today. Where did I put my pants? You know, where's my other boot? Come on, you know some of you lose stuff. Where's my other boot? I know I put it because you threw one in the living room. You threw the other one in the washroom. Come on, somebody. You know, I can't do that. I don't like losing stuff. And when I read this scripture, I see the same thing. God doesn't like losing stuff. He doesn't like losing stuff. God loves His kids. And he's not okay with losing it. As a matter of fact, the scripture tells us that when one of them is lost, he is more, and don't get hurt what I'm about to say, but the scripture says that he is more concerned with the one who is lost than the 99 that are found. Just say amen, even if it hurts. But what about me? We'll get there, hold on. Where we get, and it's true with us. Isn't it true? You'll get more concerned when you lose something, right? Like if you lose your wallet, you're not like, well, at least I got my car keys. Okay? No. You're like, where's my wallet? Yeah. Who took it? And you're like, my identity. Oh, my goodness. They're going to open 20 accounts, and they're going to steal. My credit's going to be ruined. Come on. Some of you freak out, but we're going to pray for you. It's all right. But, you know, you're like, you lose your wallet. You are consumed about your wallet. If you lose your keys, you're not like, well, I lost my keys. At least my car's in the driveway. No. Where's all the people that lose their keys? We're going to pray for you. Where are all my key losers? It's all right. We love you. We love you in the Lord. We love you in the Lord. We have an altar call for lost keys. You're the one. I think we got like 10 car keys in our offices over here now. But, you know, when you lose your car keys, you're like, where's my keys? Nothing is more important than your keys. Am I telling the truth? Because when something's lost, it will grab your attention. God is the same way. God's like, I love the fact that my kids are here, but God says, I'm also focused and I am concerned about my child that's not here. Someone say amen. And in the scriptures we just read, Jesus is trying to explain this to the Pharisees because they didn't understand it. Now, in other texts, the Pharisees are being a little bit, you know, coming from a bad heart. In this one, they just didn't understand. They didn't get it. Because they're like, Jesus, why are you hanging out with sinners? Why are you spending time with people that don't go to church? What's wrong with you, Jesus? Come on. They're like, you know, look at you. How are you doing? And they were getting upset at Jesus. The Bible says they muttered or they were complaining because the truth of it was they wanted Jesus to spend time with them. They're like, no, come spend time with us. Come talk to me. Come, don't. Come with me. I'm right here. And Jesus was like, okay, let me. And he told a parable to explain it to them. And he uses this verse in verse 4. Watch what it says here. It's good. It's good stuff. Tell your neighbor, say, this is good stuff. Okay, it's the word of God, all right? In verse 4, the Bible says, Jesus told him this parable. Verse 4, he says, suppose one of you has 100 sheep and he loses one of them. Doesn't he leave the 99 to go after the one that is lost until he finds it? In other words, Jesus is saying, you have to have the mentality not of a sheep, but of a shepherd. The world will never be changed with a sheep mentality. And I'll say this, but one of the things that will stop the kingdom of God from going forward is when we as believers have a sheepish Christianity. What's a sheepish Christianity? A sheepish Christianity is this, man. But I'm here. And God's like, no, I know you're here. You were a lost sheep. Now I want you to be a shepherd with me. And let's go find the lost ones and let's bring them home to God's house and let's bring them back to the kingdom. Be a shepherd with me. But they're like, no, man. It's like, I don't want to. Why are we talking about salt and light, man? Talk about something's going to help me, Pastor Josiah. Bah. Well, why are we talking about, you know, saving souls? Bah. Why do we got to serve? Bah. Talk to me. It's all right. I know it's hard to say amen and ouch at the same time. All right. Yeah. Come on. You know, what about me? Bah. And what happens to a church is everybody wants to be sheep, but God says, no, I need you to be a shepherd and to find lost. I'm praying that our church won't be a sheep church, but it'll be a shepherd church, that we are, come on, bringing the lost sons and daughters home. Oh, come on, somebody. I know it's a patio, but you can still clap. Come on, somebody. Say amen. Tell your neighbor, say, bah. No, don't do that. Say, let's be shepherd. Let's be shepherds. Let's be shepherds. Let's be shepherds. You see, the temptation is to stay a sheep when you get saved, but God is trying to develop you into a shepherd. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. Well, Pastor, you're the pastor. You're supposed to be the shepherd. Okay, I'm a shepherd raising shepherds. I'm not a shepherd raising sheep. I just want to be a sheep. Bah. No! Pet me. I love you. I'll pray for you, but let's be shepherds. On Saturday, what were we doing? We were being shepherds. We're saying, come, come, lost sheep. Come, we're going to love on you. Come, we're being shepherds. This will change the world. Let me show you a verse to support my thought to you. In Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 and 38, watch what the Bible says. The Bible says, when he saw the crowds being Jesus, the Bible says he had compassion. Someone say compassion. The definition of compassion is love and action. He had love and action on them because they were harassed and they were helpless like sheep without a what? Without a what? Without a what? So what is God trying to build you into? Into a shepherd. Men that are in this room, God wants you to shepherd your family, shepherd your kids. He wants you to shepherd your neighborhood. Come on. I wish I had some amen that said amen. Come on. Moms, is to have a shepherd mentality that I am going to try to bring God's lost sons and daughters home. I'm not going to be a sheep. I'm going to have a shepherd mindset. You see, sheep like to eat. You know, they like to eat. Sheep like to eat. And that could happen to a lot of Christians. I just want a good word. I just want to be a sheep. But sheep don't change the world. Just give me a good word. Sheep don't change the world. You see, sheep, after they eat, sheep like to sleep. But it's time for the church to wake up. Amen. I said, it's time for the church. What's going to... Because the devil ain't sleeping. I'll tell you right now, the demons in hell, they ain't sleeping. They're hard at work trying to get your sons and your daughters. They're trying to come after your marriage. And what's going to change it is a church that wakes up and has a shepherd mentality and says, devil, get away from your wolf. Get away from your roaring lion. I am going to go after, come on somebody, after the lost sons and God. Come on, just give God a clap. Why not? I get excited. It's a patio service. Calm down. Okay. Sorry, Omar. I'm getting excited. Praise the Lord. Play the piano nice, even softer, so it makes me calm down. All right. It's a patio service, Pastor Josiah. Tell your neighbor, say, be a shepherd. If they reply with, man, just pray for them. Praise the Lord. As a church family, it is my prayer that what we're building is not a sheep pen. It's not a sheep pen. It's a training center for shepherds, where sheep become shepherds. That we were all like sheep have gone astray, but now he found us. And now he's trying to raise us up to win souls. And he's trying to tell the Pharisees this, guys, it's not just about us. It's about the lost sheep, the lost sons and daughters. Someone say amen. Write this down, point number one. I want to give you three quick points about sharing the hope that you have to the lost sheep like a shepherd would. How do I become a shepherd mentality to reach lost sheep? You have to share the hope that you have. You have to share the hope that you have. You got to share it. Someone say share it. Someone say share the hope. Someone say give hope. Say be a hope dealer. Hope with an H. Say it right. Hope dealer. Got some of this. Some of this. Some of it, hope. You have to share the hope. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter, verse number 3 and 15, watch what the Bible says. It says, but in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. That's talking to the saved. We have Jesus in our heart. He's my Lord. But watch, the Bible says, always be prepared. How often should we be prepared?
Always.
Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the what? The what? The hope that you have. That I have always, if I'm going to be a shepherd mentality, I've always got to be prepared to give a reason for the hope that I have. See, I got this hope. I got this hope, and his name is Jesus. And so what I'm going to do to find the lost sons and daughters is when I encounter a lost sheep, and you know the lost sheep because the lost sheep, they're a little crazy. Come on, somebody. I'm not looking at nobody. Come on, you know a lost sheep when you find one. They look a little, life has got them a little scruffy. Come on now. They're a little scrappy. They got maybe a little attitude because they've been trying to survive. You know, they might even bite you. I found a lost sheep. Okay. You're not like, stay away from that crazy lost sheep. They're crazy. Well, that's not going to change the lost sheep. A person has a shepherd's heart. Says, you're a lost sheep. Well, how do I help this lost sheep? Do I get back in the church? The Bible says give it hope, because a lot of times the reason people have gone away from God is because they lost hope. They don't believe Jesus can save them, Jesus can change them, Jesus can heal their family, that Jesus can restore them. And we who have been found by the grace of God, we come into them, we say, listen, I don't know what got you into this situation, but I'll tell you what, I have this hope and his name is Jesus, and my life's not perfect, but I want to give you this hope. Come on, somebody. And we begin to share this hope. We begin to share it. Not just keep it to ourselves. Someone say amen.
Amen.
Write this down if you can. I want to give you three elements to sharing your hope story. Very practical, okay? Very practical. I love to preach. I also love to teach. The Elote man got a lot of attention. Focus, okay? Bam, I want to eat. Come on, somebody. Somebody. Why are you messing with me, Elote man? I'm trying to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was a test. We told him, come across in the middle of the message. We're going to find out, all right? We're going to find out. Ushers, don't let nobody go. No, I'm joking. All right. All right. Come on, somebody. All right. Come on, somebody. All right. So I want to give you very practical three ways to share your hope story. Because I know sometimes it's like, well, I don't know how to share my hope story, Pastor. Like, I encounter lost sheep, but what do I do? Okay. Let me tell you how. Number one, write this down. This is how you share your hope story. Share with them your life before you had this hope. Before you had this hope. Share with them your before, like, when you encounter one of the lost sheep, and you'll know him at work, at home. Maybe you're married to one. Come on, this is all, you know what I mean? Come on, somebody. Your child. You share with them what you were like before you had the hope named Jesus. You say things like, you know, before I had the hope, I know exactly how you feel. Because you see, I didn't always have Jesus in my life. I used to be strung out on drugs, or I used to be, you know, facing divorce. I had cancer, or I felt hopeless. I didn't know how to dig out of my own grave, or maybe you were doing well. I was doing fantastic in business, but my family was falling apart. I know what it feels to feel hopeless. You see, before, that's how I was. So you shared what you were like before you had the hope. Then number two, this is what you do. You share how you encountered the hope named Jesus. Write that down. Or if you got a good memory, remember that. How you encounter the hope. And so you say, I know what it feels like to feel like there's no hope, to feel like all life is caving in. And then you share how you got it. But then someone invited me to church. But then somebody prayed with me. Then my mama brought out that big old Bible. Come on. Then my dad invited me to lunch. And then they told me about this person named Jesus. And I said this prayer, and he came into my heart. Things didn't change on the outside, but it changed in here. And then you tell him number three, and now this is my life after I've received that hope. So how it was before I had that hope, how I received the hope, and my life after that hope. And then you say things like, you know, my life's not perfect since I've received Jesus. By no means. God never promised us a perfect life. The world is broken. But you see, I have this hope, Hebrews 6:19, that is an anchor for my soul. And I know it doesn't make sense, but even though things are falling apart, I know God has a purpose. There is a hope. There is a reason. And I'm not gonna throw in the towel on my life, my family. And that lost sheep is going to go, I want that too. Or they're going to say, I don't want it. But you did your part in being a shepherd. As opposed to just saying, stay away from that crazy sheep. We had to share the hope. Tell your neighbor, say, share the hope. Share the hope. Because we as God's people, what we have is Jesus. That is the answer. Jesus Christ is the answer. And listen, you don't got to go very far in light of recent events to go where people feel like things are hopeless. They feel like, you know what? The world's falling apart. You know, man, everything's messed up. It's more darker today than it ever has been. And the devil is running rampant and the kingdom of hell is winning. The devil is a liar. God's people have to share the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Tell your neighbor, say, I got a hope. Come on. Number two, write this down quickly. I only have so much time here. How much time I got? Oh, I have 45 minutes. Just kidding. Okay. Number two, write this down. You're like, what? I got 2.5 minutes. Praise the Lord. Okay. Share with them the good shepherd's house, the church. Share with him the good shepherd's house, the church. So after you've shared the hope, you want to share with them the good shepherd's house called his church. And I'll show you the verse for this. The Bible says in Luke chapter 15, in verse number 6, watch what it says in verse number 6. It says here, I'm sorry, verse number 5. It says, and when he finds it, meaning the lost sheep, he joyfully puts it on his shoulders. And what does he do? The Bible says he brings it home. Go to the next verse, verse number 6. I know you probably can't see it, but it's here, verse 6. And he, what does he do? He goes where? Home. So the picture is, we don't just share the hope and be like, and so, hey, keep your head up and hope it works out. No, the Bible says he finds it, shares the hope, is willing to put it on his shoulders because you see, sometimes sheep have been so beat up by life, they can't walk alone. And so he joyfully says, I'll carry you. I'll carry you. I'll pick you up. Let's go to the house of God. Come on, somebody. And so what happens is the reason why a lot of lost sons and daughters, a lot of lost sheep never come to know Jesus is because the sheep are not willing to pick someone else up. Pick them up for church, pick up the phone and call them, pick up the phone and text them, pick them up to pray, say, I'll carry your burdens as to fulfill the law of Christ, Galatians 6:2. I will pick you up. But a shepherd has a mentality that it is my responsibility from the great shepherd, the good shepherd, that I am willing to pick up a beat up sheep that the devil has perhaps got the best of them, but I'll pick them up and come on, let's go to the house of God and let's bring them home. Question. You don't got to answer it. Just answer it in your heart. When was the last time you picked someone up and brought them to God's house? Or are we like the Pharisees? Just spend time with me, Jesus. Man, I say it with a smile because you know I love you. But this is real talk. This is history makers. It's a church that says, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to bring God's lost sons and daughters to his house. Someone put a good amen on that. The scripture says this in Luke, the same book here, the chapter before. Jesus said, then the master told his servants, he says, go out to the roads and the country lanes and compel them. Someone say compel. He says, compel them to come in so that my house will what? Be what? Full. So Jesus is telling, he says, go compel them. In other words, do whatever it takes to bring my sons and daughters to my house so that the house of God would be full. God wants his house full. Now you might say, why? So we could just have a full church? No. Parents that have multiple children, you know what I'm talking about. Because if you have Thanksgiving, but 3 out of the 4 kids are there, it just doesn't feel like everyone. Let's be honest, okay? You're like, man, what happened to someone? You know, what happened to, it's just my heart, you know, he didn't come. God's the same way. He's like, I love that you guys are all here, but see, I know Freddie, and Freddie needs to be here. And he says, I love you guys, but Freddie, if your name's Freddie, I'm not picking on you. I just try to choose a random name, okay? But he's like, Freddie needs to be here. But like, yeah, but I'm here. God's like, I know you're here, but I love. Someone say amen. You see, God wants his house. But see, sometimes sheep, they don't want God's house full. Man, I want at least 10 chairs around me with no one in it. Okay? Because it gets full. It's like full. It's too full. I don't like it full. Okay? But yet you will go to the Charger game that is full. The Raider game that is full. The mall that is full. And you'll be like, why? Because I got, you know, it's cool. You'll go to the club that is full. Oh, Lord, help me. That is full. But when it comes to church, well, the parking lot's full. Let me tell you something. May every church be full because the people of, oh, come on, somebody. God wants his house full. And every empty chair represents a heart that God wants to touch. Believe me. God's like, I want to bring them home. You know? God wants to tell your neighbor, say, let's fill God's house. Say that. Let's fill God's house. How do you compel people to come? I'm out of time. That means it's overtime. The game is a good game now. I'm just joking. Okay, really quick. Some of you are like, what? Okay, that is not in the Bible. Bah. No, I'm joking. All right. Verse number 1. I'm having fun with that one. I'm sorry. To those on podcast, we love you. Come on, somebody. Number 1. They're like, all right. How do you compel someone to come in? Write these 3 things down. Okay, Pastor, how do I compel? The scripture said compel them. Number 1, pray for them. Okay, pray for them. So compelling isn't just in the physical. See, a lot of times we try to bring God's lost sons and daughter, his lost sheep, but we're not praying for them. We in the physical, you better come. You ought to, and we do a lot of things in the physical, and that's cool. Invite them to lunch, do all that stuff, but have you really prayed for them? And said, man, I intercede for them every week. Father, I pray today they would come to your house. I'm going to invite them, Lord. I pray this time that perhaps you would touch their heart and their heart would be open, God. Holy Spirit, no man can come to you unless the Holy Spirit draws him. So, Father, I'm praying for my mom. I'm praying for my dad. I'm praying for my brother. I'm praying for my neighbor. I'm praying for my coworker. I'm praying for my boss because he definitely is Jesus, Lord. Come on, somebody. And you pray. And you compel in the spiritual realm. It's literally, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4, it says that the God of this age, lowercase g, the devil, the God of this age, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. So like, if I'm holding 2 fingers, the devil does this, and they can't see. And so we need to pray that those blinders would be removed, and they go, I see it now. I need Jesus. Okay, so someone say prayer. Okay, number 2, how else do you compel people to come in? Is show them how much you care, okay? The gospel needs to have works behind it. Ah, come on. The gospel has to have works behind it. The Bible says, show me your works and I'll know your faith. Faith without works is dead. And so if I'm at work and I'm being like rude and nasty and you better shut up, and they go, hey, you ought to come to church. They'll be like, I ain't going, if your church is full of people like you, I don't want to be anywhere near that. People don't care how much you know till they know how much you care. Okay? And if you're the I'm not picking on nobody, but the truth is, if you're that way, I better not go there. Lord help me. Okay, stay focused. Okay, my wife gave me the look. I felt it in Jesus' name. Okay. A good way is if you've done things wrong at work, then do it right. Hey man, I'm so sorry I spoke that way last time because that's not who I am. You know, that I got my emotions got the best of me, but I'm trying to become a better person. You know, do that. Because if not, you're not going to reach that lost sheep. You're not going to beat someone into church. You better. You know, you got to love them. Someone say amen. Last one. Invite them to join you at a service. So, like, don't just be like, you ought to come sometime. Pick them up, invite them to lunch, do something, show them that you care. Amen. Last one, and I'm done. Number three, share the hope that Jesus heals. Hebrews 16:19, and I'm going to pray. We have this hope as an anchor for our soul, firm and secure. I want to tell you is that this hope that you and I have isn't just so we can keep it to ourselves, but this hope will heal people's hearts, their minds, their souls. What the world needs is Jesus. I'll say it one more time. What the world needs is Jesus. There is a problem in humanity, and that problem is not a law problem. It's not a political problem. That problem is called sin. Sin is an internal problem. And that problem was such an issue that God sent his only begotten son to die on the cross to heal us from that sin issue. The problem is sin, but the solution is Jesus. Jesus must be preached. Jesus must enter the hearts of people. Jesus must be spoken from our mouth because Jesus is the hope of the world. He is what anchors our soul that when life tries to throw us left and right and all things, that when that man and that woman, that marriage, that home, that child has Jesus, they are going to have such an anchor that's going to carry them into the presence of God. And we need to bring that hope to heal God's people. Say amen. Stand to your feet. Give God a clap and let's pray. Father, we thank you this morning.
Thanks for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you are blessed by God's word. To find out more about Freedom House Church, visit us at freedomhouseoc.org.